You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We are here at the winter meetings, and the Los Angeles Dodgers, as always, I'm sure will be a very interesting team to watch. I'm Allison Footer. I'm here with Ken Gernick, who, of course, covers the Dodgers and will be diligently doing so all week long. Ken, let's look at where the Dodgers are right now. Really, the starting pitching, I think, is a little bit of the focus of what might be a strength for them at this point. The way the season ended last year, things kind of shook out well, given everything that they had to go through throughout the season. It looked pretty good at the end of the season.
Right, and I think the trade for Rich Hill, even though he started out on the disabled list, you know, he came on strong and was dominant at times, you know, when he was healthy. He's got that blister problem that popped up, but it looks like they're going to re-sign him, bring him back to be the number two behind Kershaw, and they will have depth from which to deal if they choose.
When you look at Urias, and we talked about him last year as a guy that, I mean, he's kind of an untouchable as far as they're not going to trade him. He is the young up-and-coming star. He's young, but they needed to really limit his innings. And can we start maybe talking about him just being a guy in the rotation that could put through forth a full season?
I think they said they're still going to be careful. He's still young, and even though he built up more innings, I don't think they want to jump him up to like 200. So, again, they have depth, and they've got a lot of young pitchers. And I think we will see the shuttle from AAA again, as we did last year. Last year was more because of injuries. They hope that that's behind them. But I could see where they will, you know, back off on a guy like Urias because of his age.
So we talked. Rich Hill seems to be headed back to the Dodgers, possibly like a 3-year deal. We're hearing things. Nothing has been confirmed, of course. And like you said, I mean, the blister issue, I guess, is always going to be something that people talk about until he goes maybe a full season without having the issue. Certainly, the postseason last year, just a really solid guy, left-hander, that can really help. That takes a lot of the burden off of everything else that they have to do to create this roster this offseason.
Sure, if they can keep him out there, you know, and that's the key. And it's really been the key through his whole career. It's not just the blisters. He's had quite a roller coaster career. But he seems to have clicked, you know, as far as understanding how to pitch and get the most out of what he has. And, you know, he doesn't throw particularly hard enough, but he relies on that curveball. It kind of pitches backwards, and it's a devastating pitch. And it's the type of pitch that not too many guys throw, so the hitters don't see it all that much. And it was really effective last year to the point that, you know, he almost had a perfect game. So, you know, and then he pushes down the whole rotation. If he's second, then you've got Maeda, and then you've got Urias, and you've really got about six or seven guys to pick from for your fifth if you choose to go that way.
So they could make a trade to fortify another area, but there's also a big position that they need to figure out what they're going to do, and that's with the closing situation. So there's three big closers out there: Kenley Jansen, Aroldis Chapman, Mark Melancon. We keep hearing those names sort of all put together at the same time. The Dodgers actually employed one of them last year, so they have to decide. You hear things like that they don't really want to spend big in that area. How can they avoid doing that, though?
Yeah, that's the dilemma that they're really in here, and that's kind of the biggest hurdle they have to clear. Is what do they do there? You know, they also want to re-sign Justin Turner, you know, and he's really the only power bat at third base on the market. So they don't have as many options there to replace him, where they would if Jansen were to leave, go to Miami or wherever he would go. They still have two closers left, and they may not even get a closer. You know, they may wind up just trying to acquire a bunch of seventh and eighth inning guys and mix and match. That sort of fits their approach anyway. You know, they like to do that. They like to mix and match in a lot of different ways. So while it might surprise a lot of people and disappoint some fans, I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't get a closer, but they're certainly trying to.
So what do you think that their prospects are to re-sign Justin Turner, as you talked about it?
He's a real good fit. You know, he's a local guy. He's played so well. He's awesome in the clubhouse. I would have to bet that they would. You know, I think that he does want to stay. So I'm guessing that he'll be the one that they do keep. I'd be surprised if they're able to keep him and Jansen, because they're both going to be looking at, you know, 4 or 5 year contracts, and I don't think that's what this team wants to do. They've stated they want to be sustainable, be able to develop through their own system, and not have to go out every year and sign multiple free agents for, you know, $100 million. And that's that was the formula that Stan Kasten used in Atlanta, and they were competitive every year. And they're doing it again here in L.A., and even though when they came in, they made a splash and spent a lot of money, I think they're going to pull back, not because they have to, but because they want to, and it's just the smart way to run their business.
They are. When you talk about the big money teams, like the Yankees for years, Brian Cashman used to bristle a little bit by people not acknowledging that they always had a very strong farm system. And the Dodgers have developed some star players through their system, and that has to be encouraging when you look at what Corey Seager has been able to do. They do have a young crop that's coming up. And you have to know, it doesn't matter what team you are and how much money you have to spend, you have to have that foundation, that core to build around. And I would imagine that the Dodgers are pretty happy with what they have.
Right, and this new ownership group came in 5 years ago and they didn't have a good farm system. It was kind of shredded. They didn't scout aggressively internationally, and that was one of the things that the new ownership group did. They turned back on the spigot to not only the Caribbean but internationally, Japan. You know, they brought over Maeda. They've done a lot to try and bolster their talent pool, and it was something that was needed. And so they now feel that they're in position to have this flow of players coming through. Now, they're not all going to be Corey Seager. They're not going to win Rookie of the Year every year like they did, you know, back in the 90s. But they're hoping that maybe a Cody Bellinger later on at the end of this year or maybe next year can become the next Corey Seager. They've got Jose De Leon, you know, right-handed pitcher, that they hope can, if he isn't as good as Urias, maybe he's going to be close. And so they do have probably more prospects in these next 2 years than they've had probably in at least 10 years.
So let's talk about Yasiel Puig, because why not? I haven't talked to you about Yasiel Puig in, what's it been, like 5 weeks? So is he trade bait? What, I guess that is the guy that they can dangle out there. Clearly his stock has fallen a little bit, but he did redeem himself a little bit at the end of the season.
Right, all true. They do have depth in the outfield. And even though Puig did come back on when they brought him back in September, they really only used him as in a platoon. You know, my guess is he might be more valuable to another team that could use him every day than the Dodgers in a platoon. So I think because they have the depth, that does make him expendable to a certain extent, and I think that he might have the most trade value to another team that thinks they can recapture the way he was when he first came up. So I would say that this probably would be the time that the Dodgers are best positioned to move Puig. And if they find, you know, the right fit, I don't think they would hesitate the way they seem to have hesitated in past years.
I think it would be more on the team that might be interested in him, because there's a risk. He seems to have progressed a little bit in maturity, and maybe he was knocked down a few pegs because of the things that did come out about some of his behavior and some of the things that he was doing that made him sort of not a team player. I guess it would be more on this side of the team that might be interested, taking the risk that he's going to revert back to his old ways now that he's sort of starting fresh.
Well, sure, but you don't get an all-star, you know, every day. You know, that type of player with the tools that he has, they're not always available. So, sure, you would have to take a risk, and it would be factored into what you had to give up to get him and whether the Dodgers felt that was worthwhile. But if he's only going to be a platoon player for the Dodgers, I think it's just logical to think they'd be more likely to trade him than 2-3 years ago when they expected him to play every day.
So let's talk about the payroll. Do you see it maybe increasing, decreasing, staying the same? The Dodgers are always sort of very non-committal about what they're going to spend. Is that still the case?
And because they do tend to make acquisitions during the year. You know, this past year they got Reddick and Hill. And so they'll take on contracts. I'm sure that they'll be at or right near the top of baseball, but it won't be $300 million. It'll probably be $250 or maybe less. And that's the trend. They want to go backwards. You know, they want to make it affordable and sustainable and younger. They want to get younger. And they did that in a big way with Corey Seager last year and some of their pitchers. And even if they bring Rich Hill back, that's not exactly getting younger. But they're getting younger in the bench. Austin Barnes is taking over as the backup catcher instead of Ruiz and A.J. Ellis. So I think that they're, and when you get younger, you get cheaper. So, you know, I would say it will be 250 or a little short of that probably, which is still a ton of money, you know, by comparison to anybody else. But I think it's an improvement to the Dodgers as far as the trend going in the right direction.
They're exercising some restraint with only a $250 million payroll. Good for them. Okay, Ken, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Allison.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.